Welcome to the Personal Innovation Podcast, brought to you by PersonalInnovationHub.com. This podcast is all about igniting dreams, passions, careers, and social impact. The objective is for us all to master our inner gifts, create our own future, and live our lives as a love story while leaving a dent on the universe. And now, here's your host, Eric Suryiram.
Hello, Innovation family. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Eric Suryiram, your personal innovation evangelist. My work is simply to make us all think bigger about who we are, what we do in a unique way, and how we can change the world through doing what we love. Remember to subscribe to the Personal Innovation Podcast. This podcast is where I present to you the love stories of wonderful people who are falling in love with themselves, living their dreams, passions, and creating careers that impact the world. Do not forget to visit personalinnovationhub.com. It is where you want to go if you're looking for information, knowledge, and inspiration on building a powerful career based on your dreams, passions, and use it to impact the world. By the way, you can email me on coaching@personalinnovationhub.com. In this episode of your Motivational Personal Innovation Podcast, I bring yet another interesting guest, and he will introduce himself soon. My brother, on behalf of the Innovation family, I welcome you to the Personal Innovation Podcast. My brother, you are welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Are you ready to help my listeners dream, no matter how small, become more passionate about their dreams, create their own unique careers, and leave a dent on the universe?
I am, absolutely.
Wow, powerful. Would you rather innovate or stagnate, and why?
I would rather innovate. And the reason is, I think it makes a life more worthy of living. I think it makes a life more worthy of looking back and being proud on. This is why I'd rather innovate than stagnate.
Interesting. Can you please tell us a bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Ria Koiwar. I'm of Ghanaian German descent, born and bred in Ghana. And I'm a polyglot. I speak 9 languages. And I've been working in the social innovation space for 6 years. And I've been working in education for 6 years also, and in specialized education for 4 years.
Wow. What about all these areas you've worked in that you think you want us to give or you want us to know about? What do we don't know about these areas that you work with in?
Right. So a lot of people know that I work in education, but most of them don't know that I work in higher and specialized education for refugees, homeless people, and persons of concern. And so I work in bringing education solutions to these marginalized groups and otherwise shunned people of society, such as the refugees that we have in Ghana and certain homeless people we have here, and also those in the slums in South America.
Wow. So, is this something that you've always dreamt of or fantasized becoming?
Yes and no. So, I'd always dreamt and fantasized of helping people. And I thought in the beginning stages of my career that this was medicine. And so, I tried to get into med school, but that didn't work out because I've never had any formal education. I was homeschooled my whole life. And so, that didn't work out. And then I found out that I could help people through education as well. And so that's when I started working with marginalized groups to help them with education.
So tell us, what puts you on fire today? What is your passion today?
My passion today is refugees and homeless people and persons of concern. The reason for this is because in 2012, I became homeless. I was homeless for 6 months in Accra. I was living in the streets. I was begging for food. I was doing all sorts of odd jobs, you know, carrying blocks, weeding people's homes, that sort of thing. And so fast forward a few years after that, 2 or 3 years after that, I moved into the Crisan and Ampane refugee camps in the western region of Ghana along the Ivorian border. And there I was living and working with the refugees, teaching them entrepreneurship. And then I realized that even though I was homeless, I had a chance to go back home, but they didn't. The refugees I'm working with have been living in the camps for 27 years with no end in sight. And so that's where my passion and drive and fire comes from. The core reason is because I've been in a bit of that situation before, being homeless and feeling destitute. And so that's why I'm especially drawn to homeless people and persons of concern.
Wow. I'm sure to most young people, these issues are not issues that's on their top of the agenda. What I want you to bring to the fore some of the pertinent issues that refugees or problems that refugees face on a daily basis, and why they need special attention, like what you're doing for them.
Right. So refugees all over the world face some sort of stigma. They face discrimination. They face little attention. We generally don't give refugees as much attention as we do to our own citizens. And refugees in Ghana especially have been completely sidelined. The funny thing about that is Ghana is one of the few countries in the world that allows refugees to live and work legally. Refugees in Ghana have all the legal rights of an ordinary Ghanaian citizen, but they're not being integrated into the system, either socially or economically. And the reason why Ghanaians should care about this and should be concerned about this is because the government and the UNHCR spends nearly $1 million on refugees every year. It's not sustainable, and it doesn't make sense for our country. You know, the United States and Australia and Kenya and Uganda are good examples, and Dubai even are good examples that show that if you integrate, if you employ the skill set of different peoples, you grow your culture and your economy. And so this is something that we really need to focus on. The reason I know this very well is when I first moved into the refugee camps and I was teaching them entrepreneurship, I went for this messianic attitude of I'm going to help these people, I'm going to teach them something. And then I get there and I find people who have PhDs, people who have master's degrees, people with bachelor's degrees. What I forgot was that the refugees had lives before they became refugees. And so we need to, since they're living here, we need to employ these people to put their social skills to the test, to employ their skills and grow our economy and our culture. And so ignoring this issue or not caring about it is actually to our detriment.
Wow.
And the opposite should be true.
You mentioned that you were homeschooled. What percentage of what you do today did you learn from traditional education?
Right. So I didn't have traditional education. I had a very unusual education. This stems from my father being homeschooled himself by his mother. So I had a very unusual kind of education. It consisted of reading two books a week and writing four essays each book. I did this for many, many years, and as a result, I've read over 1,600 books already. We didn't have any exams. There was a lot of critical thinking around the things that we studied, which spanned from mathematics and geography and the sciences and so on and so forth. The only thing I think I lacked in my homeschooling was social skills, because it was a very secluded environment. But I would say 100% of the work I'm doing now stems from my having been homeschooled, because I was able to take a completely different perspective to people, their needs, and the kinds of lives that they live in the societies to which we belong.
Wow. I'm sure most people do not understand this concept of homeschooling, especially in our part of the world.
Absolutely.
Yes. Can you give us some information on how this works? And how, because you have been through homeschooling, how does it work? And if a parent is looking at homeschooling his son or daughter today, how can that work?
Absolutely. So the concept of homeschooling, as you said, is very weird for the part of the world that we live in, or the continent on which we live, which is Africa. My homeschooling was even unusual for the larger umbrella of homeschooling, as is evident in the United States and in certain parts of Europe. It consisted mostly of reading and being able to discuss different viewpoints of what we'd studied, as well as critical thinking walks. Typical thing would be my father would take us on a walk and we would discuss the environment and certain things about nature and how human beings related to nature fed off it and contributed to it and so on and so forth. So it circled around a lot of critical thinking, but the core strength of my homeschooling was that my father had a lot of time for us. He was always home.
Wow.
Because he was a yogi and he'd made his fortune already. And so he didn't need to go out to work. He was doing a lot of private consulting for governments and so on and so forth. And so he had enough time for us. And so what I would say to persons who are thinking of homeschooling their children or people that they're taking care of is you need to have a lot of time for it. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's not going to work.
You know what?
My opinion.
I want us to do something right now. I would want you to give me some comparison. Let's compare homeschooling and the formal form of schooling, the formal traditional form of schooling. How can you do a comparison for both sides? You know people who've done the institutionalized schooling. How will you compare the two?
Well, I would say homeschooling, at least the kind of homeschooling that I've had, gives you a lot of fluidity and flexibility to work in different sectors and different markets. And so I've worked in so many different markets myself. And the reason is I've read and studied around so many subjects that I would not have been able to read and study about if I were in a formal education system in which my timetable and things that I was to study were clearly spelled out for me and needed to be followed to the letter. And so I think what it gives me personally was a lot of freedom to learn things that were pertinent to my continent and the areas which I wanted to work in. I think people who've been formally educated in general studies, I don't mean things like quantum physics or medicine or engineering, things that you need to go to school for. People who learned like perhaps economics or business development or things like that. I think it imprisons them because there's a lot of there's a lot of unnecessary jargon in formal education, I find. There's a lot of putting people into boxes in formal education. There's a lot of theory and not enough practice and exploration and critical thinking that I think are essential. Because of this, I'm able to work on just about any continent within so many different cultures and in different industries.
Wow. My brother, what I've taken from your story so far is that, you see, in this world of entrepreneurship, in this world of free agents, and in this world where we are asking for more freedom for ourselves so we can do and achieve what we want to do for ourselves, it is important for us to know that we cannot be caged. We cannot be directed by other people to do what they want us to do. But self-direction is very important. And I love your story because you've gone through that system that gives you that flexibility and you are used to that flexibility. And at this point, that is what the world needs. People who have that flexibility to think outside the box, think and create solutions for our problems that we have. Not in a way that we will say that this was how we were doing it, but this is how we'd want to do it going forward. Wow, I love this concept. My brother, what is your personality type? Have you identified your personality type? And how has knowing about this type of personality that you are influenced the things you do today?
Right, yes. I very recently discovered it. I went on an introspective self-learning journey in Kenya last year. It took 6 months, and I realized that I'm an introvert. I'm not a big people person, even though ironically my work involves speaking and dealing with a lot of people, but I prefer to be in the background of things as opposed to the forefront. And so because of that, I'm mastering the art of delegation and the art of doing things remotely.
Wow.
And I've learned to say no when I need to, and to give responses such as it won't work for me now, but I'll let you know if that changes, that sort of thing. Otherwise, you find yourself, at least I put myself, if I don't do that, in a compromise in which I'm not comfortable. And if I'm not comfortable, I'm obviously not giving my best to the person to whom I've promised. And so discovering my personality type has really helped me with the work that I do.
Wow. So entrepreneurship or employment, which of these two will you choose any day and why?
It would depend on the context and the country, really. So I recently resigned from my formal job, but I would say one of my things that I tell people is find something that pays your bills and feeds your soul.
Wow.
You can't just quit everything because you've got a dream. It needs to be logical. You know, sometimes you take a leap of faith. Absolutely. I mean, I've been funding my refugee organization from my salary and I've just resigned. I'm not sure how I'm going to fund it now, but sometimes you just take a leap of faith. But primarily, I would say find something that pays your bill and feeds your soul. If you can't do that, work as long as you need to in a job that you're not completely comfortable with till you're able to leave.
Innovation family, Ria is dropping a lot of value nuggets and I'm sure you're learning a lot of things from his story. Ria, what is your favorite quote, and what do you want my Univision family to learn from it?
My favorite quote, that's a good one. My favorite quote would be, don't take a full day's pay for half a day's job. This means that if you're going to do something, if you say you're going to do something, do it 100%. You know, don't complain about the work that you have to do. Don't grind. If you're complaining about your job or the work that you need to do, quit. You know, it's not fair to your character or the person you're working for or with if you're only putting in half your effort. It's not fair. So if you know you're not going to go full thrust, do yourself a favor, do the other person a favor, quit. You know, don't take a full day's pay for half a day's job. It's just a very, very bad show of character. And it's just wrong, I think.
Yeah. Univision family, are you putting in your all or you're just complaining? Are you putting in your all? Are you doing your part? Are you playing your part in creating this world that you dream of? Or you're just complaining about how the systems are not working? Ria, what would you say is your career today? Do you think it is a bad fit job? Is it a dream job? Or will you say it is your bridge job?
So I wouldn't actually even say it's my job. You know, I feel this is my work.
Wow.
I feel strongly that this is what I was born to do. And I just recently found the distinction between job and work.
Yeah.
And on the side, the distinction between joy and happiness. This work that I'm doing gives me true joy. You know, at my formal job, if you pay me $1,500 a month, I'm happy, but it doesn't give me true joy. This work that I'm doing with refugees, with homeless people, with persons of concern, it's giving me true joy. This is my work, and I see myself doing this till my last breath.
Univision family, are you enjoying what you're doing? Is it work or is it just a job? Think about this. It is very important. What will you say is your career or personal goal today, Ria?
My career personal goal today is to create a self-sustaining system when homeless people don't exist in Ghana and to create that model where it's able to be replicated across different countries and continents.
Yes, you've already told us a little bit about how your career path started. But tell us into detail, how did this journey start for you? How did you discover that this passion could become a career for you? This passion of caring for other people, because you've been in their shoes before, how has it become a career for you?
Absolutely. So to the very, very beginning, I started up as the son of a yogi. For those who might not immediately know what that is, it's like a Buddhist monk. There's a lot of meditation going on when you're a yogi. And it started that way. I did that for 21 years. And then I had this feeling that I wanted to be a doctor because that was the only way that I knew at the time to help people. And then through that, I became homeless. As I mentioned earlier, I spent 6 months hustling in the streets, you know, carrying blocks and construction sites, weeding people's homes, working in a trotro as a mate, you know, these sorts of things, begging for food. And that was what led to my working with the groups of people that I work with now. It started off as getting into marginalized education, higher education for underprivileged persons. And then I happened to move to two refugee camps. And then I realized that that's what I wanted to do. And then I began to, and Steve Jobs said this, that you can't connect the dots looking forward. When I look back on my life, and I realized that everything that happened happened so I would be where I am today, working where I am today. And the light just came on for me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And so I've always told myself, my siblings and my friends and those who ask, that there are so many gifts in the sufferings that we go through. And if we can realize that everything is happening for a reason, we might not like it, but if we accept that there is a core reason behind this, then we might see what it is. And I lost my parents at an early stage, and for years I've been bitter about that. But then I think back now and I realize if I hadn't lost them, I would not be doing what I'm doing today, helping other people. And so this is how the journey started. Wow. For me, I've realized that taking it a day at a time and looking back, trying to connect the dots, that's what helps, not looking forward, trying to understand things. Because especially in this part of entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship, the future is not always clear. You have the big picture, the steps that you take to get there are not always immediately clear. Wow. And so I would say to people, keep track of what's happening in your past. Study the things that you need to study and look out for the signs of what you're supposed to be doing.
Wow, powerful, powerful. Univation family, what's happened to you in your past? What is your history? I've been saying all the time that the power or the secret to your success is within your grasp. Look back and see what happened to you in your past or what you're going through today and ask yourself, how can I take advantage of this? How can I use this to create a path towards my future? Very powerful wisdom nuggets coming all the way from our brother, Rhea. My brother, we believe all humans are unique. What would you say is that particular skill or ability, that talent or personality trait that makes you stand out from all other people who do exactly what you do today?
I think adaptability and a certain foresight. I pace a lot. And when I'm pacing, I'm thinking. I always expect the best, but I prepare for the worst first. So if I'm aiming for something big and it doesn't happen, I'm not going to spend the next few days, months, years brooding about it because I've already prepared for that, towards that. I would say the unique thing about me is my ability to adapt, because I've been through a lot already. I don't think anything could happen to me that would surprise me now. I'm not tempting God, but I don't think I can be surprised. And so my unique trait will be my ability to adapt to situations.
Univision family, expect the best, but prepare for the worst. Wow, powerful. That is powerful. My brother, what is your biggest struggle today? As far as your career, your personal life is concerned, what is your biggest struggle? What challenges do you face in your career today? And how are you working to win the game?
Right. My biggest struggle today is bureaucracy. Bureaucracy with private organizations and with the governments that I work with. I cannot begin to understand why it's so difficult to do good. And one of the things that I struggle with is patience. I don't have a lot of patience for things that I feel are not sensible. And so over the years, I've been trying to cultivate a certain patience, because the industries that I work in require a lot of patience. Otherwise, it's really, really easy to give up. So my main struggle is bureaucracy, and what I'm growing to cushion that is patience.
Wow, Univision family, the system might not work. The processes might be cumbersome. Bureaucracy might be there, but do not give up. Just as my brother is not giving up, he's still fighting on. Rhea, what do you think we need to do about our weaknesses to achieve our goals?
I think we need to learn about our weaknesses. So a lot of times we have a lot of weaknesses that we feel but don't really know about. I think we should, as much as possible, use all the mediums that we can, be it friends, family, counseling, the internet. Learn about the weaknesses that you have and learn how to defeat them. If you're passive about things, they never truly go away. But if you make an active effort to learn about and conquer them, then I think that's one sure way to go.
My brother, do you know, I call myself a personal innovation evangelist. And my work is just to preach the word about personal innovation. I believe in this concept so much.
Yes.
But I want to find out from you, how will you define personal innovation? And how important and relevant do you think this concept is to our careers, our business, and to the future of work?
I think it's extremely important, especially in areas of entrepreneurship and social entrepreneurship. I think it's really, really important because a lot of times we have ideas and dreams and passions for certain things that people around us don't immediately see or believe in. And so I think it's extremely important to self-motivate. Otherwise, you're going to give up. You're going to fall into depression. And this happens a lot on this journey. If you don't self-motivate, if you don't personally counsel yourself, because no one really knows you like you know yourself except God. If you don't self-motivate, you're probably going to give up quickly. And so I think it's really, really important that you persistently do this, you know, be it from motivational podcasts like yours or other mediums, you know, be it books or anything like that. But I think you'd be on the right path if you're personally motivating yourself.
Wow. Wisdom nuggets have been dropped, and we can't wait to listen to more from our own brother, Ria. Who is that one individual, that icon, that celebrity, that mentor or coach that you look up to in everything you do, and why?
My father. This one is very, very easy. My father taught me everything I know today, absolutely everything. You know, the languages I know, the skills that I have, a large part of my personality came from him. He's my number one mentor. You know, he's the one human being that I'm always trying to live up to. He's the hero of my life, my father.
Wow. 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 Powerful. That's so touching. And if you have a father out there, ask yourself, how is he creating value into your life? Do you think that you are a brand today? Do you believe you can become a brand that will drive emotions, loyalty, credibility, and return on investment, and even be remembered, even when you're no more?
Yes and no. So the ultimate goal is not to become a brand, because I have this personal belief that if you say you're doing social work, or if you say you're doing good, if you say you're helping a community or a people, and you want publicity for that, then it becomes slightly tainted or fake. And so I never immediately do anything to become a brand. That's happening organically within the circles that I work in. But I'm working with the hope that my work continues on itself without me. You know, I don't want to be directly associated with my work. I want my work to be a standalone thing that people see and want to be a part of for the work and not because of me. Because if that happens, if one day I leave or I die tragically tomorrow morning, then that work dies off because the brand is gone. Do you see? And so I'm trying to create the brand or the name on itself, independent of who I am.
Wow, Innovation Family, this is powerful. It is not about self-proclamation. It is not about self-praising. It is not about telling people that I am the best, but it's about doing the work, creating value for people. Absolutely. And at the end of the day, the people themselves will fall in love with you. And by then, you have not consciously created a brand for yourselves, but they will remember you because you've been there for them when they needed you most.
Absolutely.
I love this. Your network is your net worth. We need to always think about who we know and who knows us to advance our careers and our dreams. Mm. My brother, how do you go about networking with people necessary to achieve your dreams?
So if I really need a certain person, you know, I understand that people are busy, especially the people up there, like the Patrick Awards of Ashanti University, the Colic Elwies of World Reader, and so on and so forth. I understand these are generally busy people. And if I really need someone, I make sure that the need is clearly spelled out. You know, I don't approach them mumbling or fumbling with what to talk about. I already have a plan as to what I need and why and when. And if I can't reach you personally, I'm going to email you until I get you. And so I have the strategy where I understand people are busy. So I have a strategy where I can email you for up to 6 months just trying to get your attention. Then I send a final email saying, I won't email you again, but I still would like to talk to you. If you change your mind, please contact me. And people are human beings, right? They feel bad sometimes and they email you back, or other times they don't. But if it's important, then absolutely be persistent about it like everything else.
That's very powerful. My brother, members of the Univation family believe that strong brands impact society positively. Mm. And that is why they are remembered even when they are no more. Mm. Tell us about what you do today or what you're planning to do. You've already started telling us, but tell us into detail what you're doing to leave a dent on the universe.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as you know, the refugee crisis is huge now. You know, there's more than we can count, and it's getting worse and worse and worse, and countries are closing their borders and putting up sanctions and decrees and so on and so forth. What I'm doing today into detail is helping refugees and persons of concern get out of the situations that they're in and into societies economically and culturally. I'm doing this through providing, with regards to the refugees in the Kresan and Nampain camps in the western region of Ghana, I'm providing them with English courseware from Lancaster University. And after they go through that, which is typically 6 months, after they go through that, I'm giving them transferable skills with our partner organizations, also just trying to get them into our society and economy. In South America, we're working with the homeless people in the favelas. That's what the slums of Brazil are called. And we're teaching them computer literacy skills and Portuguese and English so they can contribute to the societies that they live in. So that's specifically what Rio is doing. And that's how I'm working to leave a dent on the universe.
Powerful. In the new world of career, in the new world of business and entrepreneurship, continuous learning is key.
Absolutely.
What are you doing to make sure you stay educated, knowledgeable, and up to date as far as your area of expertise or your industry is concerned?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So I study a lot. Despite what people may think, I'm always studying. I read 4 books a month, and typically 50 books a year. I read around so many other things. I'm reading articles and blogs and newsletters, all these things. I study a whole lot. It's really, really important, especially with the advent of things like the Fourth Industrial Revolution that the World Economic Forum has propounded. It's really important, as you said, to stay abreast with everything that's going on. And so to do that, I know the industries I'm working in, I know the industries I'm trying to get in, and I'm working on personal development also. And so I study a whole lot.
Can you open your tools box for us, for my listeners? What tools, what books, what internet resource do you like and use that you'd like to recommend to my listeners?
Right, so I would recommend Grit. I think the book is Grit by Carol Dweck. I would recommend the Bible above all other books. You know, the Bible has spiritual and very practical examples as to how to be a better person, how to help people, how to increase wealth and spirituality and so on and so forth. I would recommend Influence. You know, there's lots of personal motivation books. It depends on finding the one that fits you. You know, people have lots of different personalities, and so it might not gel with a lot of things. But just go to a library, go to a bookshop, read around the things that gel well with you, and start reading on them. It can't hurt. You know, increasing knowledge cannot hurt. Ignorance is painful. It puts you in a lot of trouble simply because you don't know. If you walk out a 7-story building because of ignorance, you didn't know, but you're dead at the bottom. You know, it's good to know what to do and what not to do. So read, read, read. YouTube, podcasts, books, anything that works well with you.
Univision family, ignorance is very painful. I'm not sure you want to be there. So continue learning. Now tell us, how are you sharing your personality, your stories, your values, things you're creating with your target audience?
I share it through my Medium and, you know, my Facebook. I mentioned earlier, I'm not really an outdoor sort of person. I very seldom go into crowds, but occasionally I'm called to speak at these public events where I go in and share my story. And I have similar interviews such as this one that we're doing right now with certain groups of people. And so that's how I share my story and my life and the things that I'm doing. But otherwise, a lot of people might not know about this because I won't publicly go out there. Again, because I feel if you're putting too much publicity in yourself, then your work is getting tainted, because it's easy to get distracted by the fame and the publicity. And this happened to me not too long ago, and that's when I put myself in check and decided, you know, if it's not absolutely necessary, don't do it.
For the Personal Innovation podcast, we always have a Personal Innovation Challenge.
Right.
What passion project would you pursue in the next few months? Or what are you doing? New things that when we meet again, we can talk about. When we invite you onto this podcast, we can talk about and celebrate your success on this podcast for.
Right, that's a good question. So the new thing that I'm doing is getting the homeless people in Ghana off the streets.
That's big.
It's huge, and the politics and infrastructural difficulties around us are immense. I don't have the stats with me, but it would be really boring to divulge on that. But it's really immense. It's very, very difficult. But that's one of my major goals for the next few years. I don't see why we have that here, and I'm trying to help sort it out.
Where can people find out about this thing that you're doing? How can they contact you to contribute, to support my listeners if they want to share their love to what you're trying to do? Where can they get you?
Right. So on my website, that's rioedu.org, rioedu.org. My Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all by the same name, Ria Kwewo. So that's what we reached.
Great, great. Listeners, go out there and look for that website. Go onto that website. I'm sure we'll link it up in the show notes for you to read. And you can visit and share your love to a member of the Univation family.
Absolutely.
We have to constantly evolve, adapt to new realities, be accountable for ourselves, and think creatively if we want to survive. What final lessons or wisdom nuggets, wisdom words, or guidance do you want to offer my audience who are trying to dream, follow their passions, and create a career out of it, just as you're doing?
Absolutely. My true advice would be put God first. You know, be serious about that, and be serious about anything that you're doing. Be persistent with it. Be consistent with it. Don't only decide to go for it in the long run. You know, do it every day and try to put your best at it every day that you're doing it. You know, get up early, go to bed late, because you're being productive. Again, no half measures. Otherwise, it will just be a dream, because in the end, you'll find that a lot of people are trying to get ahead. But what are you doing differently? You need to stand out because you're putting in the extra work.
Wow. Ria, the Univation family loves what you're doing, and that is why you're on this podcast and you're talking to our souls, our hearts, and we are feeling it. But we will not want you to end it. We don't want you to end it. So we'd want to make a pledge.
Absolutely.
We call it the Univation, Personal Innovation Pledge. And you repeat after me.
Right.
I pledge to continue living my dream.
I pledge to continue living my dream.
I pledge to think bigger about who I am.
I pledge to think bigger about who I am.
And change the world by doing what I love.
And change the world by doing what I love.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Wow. On behalf of the Univation family, we have witnessed your pledge and pray you fulfill it. Thank you very much for sharing a piece of you with the Univation family. Thank you for coming.
So much. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And wow, my listeners, thank you very much for listening and staying tuned in. And I'm sure we'll meet in the next episode.
Remember to subscribe, because there's more to come. Follow Eric on Twitter at Sir Eric Suryiram, and on Facebook, facebook.com/personalinnovationhub. Remember to rate and review the show. Share this with friends who need to hear.